It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Budget cutters in Washington are getting creative.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The president will meet with the House Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader this morning at the White House to try and avoid a government shutdown later this week. They're looking for $8 to $10 billion more in cuts to this year's budget from what are called mandatory spending programs. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale explains.
So far, budget cutters have concentrated on programs that Congress funds year to year. That includes air traffic control, foreign aid, and food inspections. Now negotiators are looking at a bigger part of the government, programs where the number of eligible people or projects triggers the spending automatically. Social Security and Medicare are the big ones, although they're not part of this year's budget talks. The ones that are, highway projects that go to private contractors, and farm subsidies. Budget analyst Stanley Collender says the broader focus helps spread the pain.
It means that it's not just typical Democratic constituencies that would get hit, that is, poor, the elderly, those types of things. It could broaden it out so that it includes business, that it includes more middle to upper middle and to even upper income folks, include farmers in typically Republican states.
By cutting programs where spending is on autopilot, Democrats are trying to shield some safety net programs on the chopping block, like low-income home heating assistance. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, when House Republicans passed their budget plan last month, it included cuts to education. Those cuts have been taken off the table for now by Senate Democrats. But at the state level, education budgets are being cut. Let's talk education funding and more now with the U.S. Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan. He's with us from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, you've called for an overhaul of the No Child Left Behind law. What do you want Congress to do?
We want to fix it. We think a lot of it is broken, and we want it fixed before the August recess so we can go back into the new school year with a law that's much fairer, much more focused, and a lot more flexible.
I've seen that 82% of schools might fail the goals that are set in the law this year. Why do you want to keep this law?
Well, we want to fix it. And the law is far too punitive. There are many, many ways to fail. No rewards for success. It's led to a dumbing down of standards, which is a huge problem, and it's led to a narrowing of the curriculum. And we can fix all of those things.
You've said we have to educate our way to a better economy, but many states seem to be doing just the opposite. They're making steep cuts to education budgets. What would you say to state lawmakers about how to cut education smartly?
If governors have to cut, there are smart ways to cut, and frankly, there are dumb ways to cut. You have some governors who are cutting early childhood education. I just simply can't support that. Our 3- and 4-year-olds don't have lobbyists. But if we want to close achievement gaps, if we're serious about giving every single child a chance to be successful, we have to have them enter kindergarten ready to learn and ready to read.
On to college education now. You need more than a high school degree to make it in this economy, but college tuition is going up. Do you think poor kids are going to be left out in this new economy?
I don't. You see some universities, to your point, raising tuition. You see some universities that are actually reducing costs. You see some universities going to 3-year programs. You see some going to no-frills campuses. And I think our students and their parents are smart and they're savvy. And where universities are escalating costs, in ways that just don't make any sense, I think they're going to lose market share.
What do you think is a reasonable percentage of people that we should expect can get a college degree in this country?
What's been so interesting, Jeremy, is one generation ago, we led the world in college graduates. And we've fallen from first to ninth. And
yeah.
The president and I just fundamentally believe we have to educate our way to a better economy. So he wants us a decade from now to again lead the world in college graduates. We'll have to go from about 42% of our 25 to 34-year-olds to about 60%. And that's an ambitious goal, but I'm convinced we can make it.
Arne Duncan is the U.S. Secretary of Education. Secretary Duncan, thanks so much for joining us on the Marketplace Morning Report.
Hey, thanks. Have a great day now.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across the globe this morning. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said yesterday that elevated prices of oil and food are not here to stay. However, he said inflation has to be monitored closely in case his assumptions are incorrect. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 23 points to finish the day at 12,400.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight, nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
The internet radio company Pandora has been subpoenaed as part of a broad federal investigation into smartphone applications. At issue is whether those apps are telling advertisers too much about smartphone users. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
If you put an app like Pandora on your smartphone, you're making a deal. You give them information about you. They sell that to advertisers.
You don't get the free music for free. You get the free music in exchange for the ability of Pandora and others to collect valuable information about consumer behavior.
Rob Frieden is professor of telecommunications and law at Penn State University. He says this deal only becomes criminal when the company doesn't disclose how much information they're collecting. The government's using a law used to prosecute computer hackers to probe Pandora and other e-commerce companies. It could force the industry to look not just at what information they take, but at what they leave available for others to see.
The technology used by companies like Pandora and Facebook may be accessible by other unscrupulous data miners who could then do even more.
That's a deal that music lovers didn't count on. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, sometimes the best way to market products to kids is to say something is dangerous or gross or perhaps toxic. That's what an Indianapolis company called Candy Dynamics did with its product, Toxic Waste Bubble Gum. Problem is, the gum, which is made in Pakistan, is now being recalled because the FDA has discovered it contains elevated levels of lead. In other words, toxic waste bubble gum is indeed toxic. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Along with the rest of the economic data, measuring happiness. In Britain, the Prime Minister thinks it can be done with precision.
If I thought this was woolly and insubstantial, I wouldn't be bothering with it.
I'm Bob Moon. The British government has just started asking people about their happiness, but what will be done with the results? Next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m., American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.